Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and Hagman Reporter. Very special guest, Doc Marquis. It's a God Things, it's a God Thing Productions, 777.com. Just go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link over to Doc Marquis. But, order the DVD that we're sourcing right now. I don't know how long it's going to last. So get on board, folks. And remember, it helps his research, Doc's research as well, when you support him by ordering his products and DVDs. We need to ferret out the truth. And speaking of the truth, just before we get back to Doc, I just want to say it's funny. The Mall Santa removed after putting Hillary on a naughty list. Of course, you know, there's a Santa Claus at the Sanford Mall, and replaced after saying that Hillary Clinton, well, putting Hillary Clinton on the naughty list. This is, I'm talking about Sanford, Florida now, and actually sent to counseling. Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, folks, let me just remind you from the first hour, as we awaiting Doc's to bring Doc on, we spoke about the popular vote. Just understand, the popular vote in this country for Trump and Clinton, I mean, what a fraud. So, I mean, that goes without saying, right? It's a fraud. Before we get back to Doc, I want to tell you about the Minuteman Rocket Stove. Perfect survival stove for your cooking needs. Look, we're certainly expecting supply disruptions. We're expecting bad things to happen. We have, of course, in the pantry, don't we, the long-term storable food itself, maybe boxes of rice or whatever it might be. How are you going to cook that in the event of an outage, power outage? You're going to go start a fire in your backyard? What if you live in an apartment, or what if you live in a high-rise or a mobile home or someplace that wouldn't allow that? Well, this is a perfect item for you. Minuteman Rocket Stove. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Visit their website. The Minuteman Stove is a self-contained rocket stove, the best in the industry, bar none. It actually directs the heat to a specific area, and it acts just like a kitchen stove. It takes about a tenth of the wood necessary for an open fire type setting, of course. And it's a 50 caliber ammo can design. It features a lid. It's got a rubber seal, carrying handle. It weighs 14 pounds. It seals tight, keeps the soot out, keeps the odor out for storage. And also, because of the way it's made, it does not have a smoke signature, so to speak. So if you're worried about giving away your location for whatever reason, not going to happen with a Minuteman Rocket Stove. Folks, these stoves are made in America, and they are also serving with their troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're handmade. They're battle-proven, extremely rugged. This stove, by the way, comes with a 2-year, no-hassle warranty, and to date, no one has ever cashed in on that warranty. No need to. Visit MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. Doc, fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. We are at that point in the video. The orange...
Looks like it's the same area, but it's a different camera angle. And because it's a different camera, you know, the lighting's a bit different. Now, because the picture, some of these pictures will be difficult to see because of the lighting, what I did, I'm going to, I used Photoshop and I lightened the photos. Now, that's all I did. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at the first photo, which will be the original footage from the film. We'll be looking at the frame. Then we'll see a second frame. It'll be the same picture, but it'll have a red circle. Then we're going to see a third frame. That's going to be the lightened one that I did. And the fourth frame will be the same lightened one, but with a red circle. Okay?
Okay.
You'll see what I'm saying as we go along.
Eric shaking his head, yes. Okay, good. All right.
Well, that's why Eric gets paid the big bucks, and you and I, you know, are lucky if we can get coffee.
Well, you know, speaking of coffee, we still owe you coffee, but that's another story for another day. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, now, if you remember, there's a truck to the far left, you know, in the middle, all the way to the left.
Yeah.
Okay, and right above the hood, maybe about an inch and a half up on the photo, you can see what looks like a horizontal streak of some sort.
Yes.
It's
yes.
grayish. And behind yep. it, there looks like there's something in midair, almost like a half circle or like a crescent shape.
No, go with that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll see it better as we go along. But just pay attention to this. Okay, now, Eric, just hit the film, Let It Run, okay? And once it gets to 1 minute, here I go again. Once it gets to 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 17 seconds, that's when you can pause it, okay?
All right.
Okay, so just run it. Let me know when it's running.
You just hit the button, and it's running.
Okay, so there's that gray streak again, as I was saying. Now, when you see the circle, the red circle, you right in the center, you should be able to see that red, that streak towards the middle of the circle.
Yeah. See okay, something.
Now,
okay, yeah, yeah.
In the next photo, it should be easier to see because it's lighter.
Okay.
Can you see it easier now?
Yeah, there's something that happened to that. Yeah, so, okay,
right.
Yeah.
And right behind it, in the red circle, you should be able to see that, like, what looks like, almost like an opening in midair.
Okay, yeah.
That's the portal. That's the interdimensional portal it's going through. Now, if you notice in this next one, something has jumped out, right?
Yeah, exactly,
right.
Yes.
Okay, and you should see the red circle next?
Yep.
Okay, now in the next frame, Eric, I want you to pause it now. Just pause it.
Done.
You should see the lighter version, but there's no red circle.
Correct.
Okay, just pause it there. Now, look at this object very carefully. And actually, if you look towards the very rear of it, it looks like there's a tail, correct?
Depends on where the rear is. The rear closer to the ground?
The rear is pointing, the tail is pointing towards the 10 o'clock position.
Okay, I gotcha. All right. Okay.
Right. Now look down, and you'll see that all of a sudden there's a black space.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, it's almost as if the tail has been disconnected.
Right.
Now.
Yeah.
That's because, and now we're going to get further into this. Look further down, a little past its midsection, and you'll see the same type of thing where there's like just almost like a black line, but it's a black space.
Correct.
Now, the reason that's true is because this demon that's manifesting is in transit. It's in either third or fourth dimensional right now. It's trying to take on a physical form.
All right.
And the final proof of this, look down to where the head should be. There is no head there.
No, I don't. What the heck? Okay, yeah.
You can see its two legs touching the ground in the front, but it has no head.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's in transit. It's neither third or fourth at this point. Now,
okay.
Among other things, for those people who don't believe this is a demon, you better tell me what third-dimensional animal you're aware of that can move about that doesn't have a head.
Hmm.
But as we go along, you will see the head.
All right.
Right now, as it says, it's in between the third and fourth dimension. It's trying to take on a cohesive or a solid form. That's why parts of it is missing right now.
Okay, and this is running right now, right? No, it's not running. Okay, it's paused.
No, it should have been paused.
Okay, all right. So it's paused. Okay, that's fine.
Right.
All right. So, all right.
Now, is the photo you're looking at right now, does that have a red circle?
No.
Okay. We'll play it until we see the red circle around that creature there.
All right. And
okay, just start the film up again.
Okay, it started.
It should be at somewhere around 105.40.
We got a red circle.
Right, and you see that creature there?
Yep.
Okay, good. Now, just start the film again.
All right. Started.
Let me know when it's starting.
It's starting now.
Okay. And you should see the creature on the ground now.
That's correct.
Right. Now, let me know when you see the oval around it, the red oval.
It was there and disappeared.
Okay, let's keep going, okay. Because you can see the creature now has taken on a full physical form, okay?
Yes.
Right. Now, the creature itself, as you can see, there should be another oval in the lighter photo so you can see it better.
Yep.
Okay, good. Yep. Now, just keep watching the film as it goes on, okay?
Right.
Because the creature you can see is going to be moving behind that tree, if you would.
Right.
Right.
And it just lightened up.
You should be able to see it with the oval around it.
Yes. The oval was there. It lightened up. Now the oval's gone. Now it's back again.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Now, you'll see the creature again. It's taking off in flight.
Yes.
Right. And you should see the oval around it.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the next photo, you'll see a lighter version of it. Notice that its entire midsection is gone, but the head is now there.
Okay, yeah, right.
Right, you should see the red oval around it and the lighter form.
Yes, now it's more of a circle, and it's off the ground. It's appearing to be off the ground, and has a kind of a chunk missing out of the center, and now it's...
Right, it's losing cohesion again, but it's manifested a head now.
Okay. Now it's now we're at the it's darker,
the
red
dark
red
version.
Circle above, right, and it's
right.
above the
it's
ground.
Right, it's darker,
okay.
And there's a red circle, and then it's going to get lighter again.
Yeah, it's doing that now. Yep.
Right, and then you see the red circle.
Yep, here it is. Yep, the red circle.
Because the creature's taken off, it's not supposed to be there. You'll see the darkened photo, and then you'll see the darkened photo with the circle.
Darkened photo, right now.
Right. And then
and
you'll see the red circle.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And then you'll see the lighter version. And then you'll see the lighter version with the circle.
Lighter version right now.
Now look at the midsection. Straight down the middle. It's all missing now.
And now we got the circle. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's losing its cohesion because in the next photo you can see it's flying off.
Yeah, taking off like a bat out of you know where.
Exactly. The red circle right. will show it. And in the lighter version, you can see the same creature taken off. Its entire, if you drew a line straight down the middle, it's missing. From top to bottom, it's completely missing.
Hmm.
Right. And in the next couple frames, you'll see that it has completely vanished. Now, pause the film there, please.
All right. We pause it where it is vanished.
Right.
Okay, there we go. Just to remind everyone, you're listening to Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast A. I'm sorry. No,
I've got the
Doc Marquis, our guest. Yeah, what am I thinking? No, Doc Marquis, our guest, folks, and pretty fascinating stuff. Okay, go ahead. Wow.
Okay, as we're saying, when we look at the second manifestation, there was a number of things that was obviously different than the first. Okay, the first one was a two-dimensional object. The second one was a fourth-dimensional demon trying to take on a physical form in our third-dimensional realm of existence. Now, behind that demon, when it was first manifesting, and for those of you who have seen the film or want to get the film, pause it there as the demon is about to manifest, and you look right behind it, you can actually see the interdimensional portal open and close. You see, the problem is it happened so quick on the film that trying to even get a half-decent shot of it is extremely difficult. And this was the best shot of that event that I could get. You can still see the dimensional portal, but you'll have to pause it very quick so you can study it. But it is there. As I said, I've had this thing authenticated twice, the footage and everything, and they said it is exactly what I've said it is.
All right. Now, I'm going to just ask this because normal surveillance cameras now today are digital and roughly 30 frames per second approximately. Is that what we're looking at here?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
All right. Okay.
Right. It's not as if we're looking at normal rolling film. You know as well as I do that there's sort of like clicks and pauses in between.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but this does appear to be a pretty high quality or a pretty upwardly mobile surveillance system.
Oh yeah, this was a very good one. Yes,
yep.
You know, and that's why I was able to use this footage because it can clearly show what I've been saying all along. Because if you remember when the demon landed, you know, its front paws on the ground,
yep.
There was no shadow. You see,
true.
Yeah, the reason there was no shadow in this case is because the demon did not and could not manifest. If it was able to manifest a complete third-dimensional body, there would have been a shadow. But because it was in transit, it was in between third and fourth dimension all the way, it could not leave a shadow. That's what happened. And again, when we look at the demon very carefully throughout this footage, you'll notice.
Come on, Hillary.
It was always in transit because parts of the body was there, parts of it wasn't. And in the beginning, there was no head, but we saw later on in the footage, it finally manifested a head. Remember?
Right. Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first saw it, I mean, to me, that first image, or the first time that was one of the most spectacular things, I think, without the frame by frame. It had the appearance of some sort of a, what would you call it, like a puma.
Like a wolf or coyote or something.
Yeah, a wolf, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best I could call it myself, you know, because it was trying to take on a physical form. But again, and here's the reason why. Let me explain this. Most people probably don't know this. After the great war in heaven and the angels were cast out and they were the demons, you know, what we call demons now, or, you know, what's the original Greek word, demonos, or demoniac, they lost, I'd honestly say, about 90% of their normal powers, their natural powers, you know, because if you ever look at the scriptures carefully, and we see angels are being sent by God to do this or to take care of that.
Right.
To me, it always appears that those angels are being sent from a great distance, and yet somehow they get here to the earth seemingly within seconds. You know, that's what it looks like to me when I see it in the Bible. And that's because the angels have the natural abilities to go in between all these dimensions without batting an eye. They don't need portals. They don't need to slip in between them like demons do. No, angels can just move through them as if, you know, you and I walk through air. But the fallen angels, because they've lost most of their natural abilities, they have to try to find a way around this. And as the footage proves, they will slip in between dimensions. But every time that in this case, a second dimensional being or a fourth dimensional one, you know, demons, try to manifest, they were kicked out just like that. They could not take on a form.
Okay.
You know, as it says, it's a universal constant that God, in his infinite foreknowledge, put in his creation that would automatically kick out any demon that wasn't summoned or that is not possessing a host. And you see, this is why demonic possession came about. Before the flood, before the fall, there was no such thing as possession. There never had been. Because in their original states, these demons were angels. So they could go, as I said, from point A to point B, manifest, and not have a problem. Well, now that those fallen angels, the third that fell from God's grace, are now demons, they lost most of their powers. So because they lost most of their powers, for them to travel, they have to do it by, you know, force at times. It's, if you look at that one incident on the film, when that portal's being opened, it looks like it's actually being forced ahead, as if something's desperately trying to push through. You'll see it when you review the footage. But right. That's because the demon can't naturally manifest. It has to force itself through the dimensions. And even then, because it doesn't have the power to manifest anymore for any real period of time, it's usually 2-3 minutes at the most, they're forced out of this dimension. However, through demonic possession, demons can stay because they are possessing a third dimensional host that is part of our physical universe. The demon may be fourth dimension, but because it's cohabiting a third dimensional host, it doesn't have to use any of its what little power is left to manifest, because it's in a third dimensional body now. Nothing can kick it out except for a deliverance or if the body dies.
And then where does it, okay, a body, we'll say a body dies, or in the case of a deliverance, where does it go?
If it's a deliverance, and if the person's wise enough, they will bind the demon in the name of Christ, and they will confine it to the lowest part of the bottomless pit and command it to stay there until the final day of judgment. If a person does that, that demon can no longer leave. It can only be brought up one last time, and that will be through God's power when he casts them into the lake of fire. That's why when I've done, I don't know how many deliverances in this life, and the one thing I always tell everyone, don't just bind it and cast it away. No. Because it can, you're just casting the problem to someone else. No, bind it and then cast it into the bottomless pit, there to remain until the final day of judgment. This way, that demon can no longer escape.
All right. So would it stand to reason then, Doc, that in the case of a death or a, in fact, the Drudge had a link, and I don't know whether it was a UK, I don't know where it was from. Somebody had video or camera footage captured. It was a violent accident. I believe it was someone on a motorcycle. And I don't know how many people saw this, but there was a body on the ground. I mean, just freshly deceased from hitting a pole or something. And it looked very similar to what we just saw here with respect to that, for that shadow coming out of the ground. Or not out of the ground, out of that dark spot. So would it stand to reason that in a death, someone who's possessed, that would, demon would look something like that, or?
I'd have to see the footage to first of all tell you if that's an actual demon. But because the person died and there was no deliverance, that demon is free to roam the earth. Just as the
Happy
Bible
thoughts.
Describes. Just right. As the Bible describes, it's free to roam the earth.
Right.
Because no one took authority over that demon in time. It's too late. The body died.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
this... wow. Okay.
Go ahead.
This footage you have, can I ask? I mean, we got about here 2 minutes before the bottom of the hour, and I don't know how much more we have to cover with respect to this. But how did you come upon? I mean, were you? This is valuable to me. This is valuable footage. How did you come upon this? Or
well,
can't
as
you say?
I said, cameras are being set up in the different area where I've been doing my field work.
Right.
Okay. And this footage was actually taken by someone other than myself, they knew of my work, and they sent it to me. And when I reviewed it, and as I said, I knew the location. It was right next to where I've been doing my field work. This was, as you put it, that mystic, magical aha moment.
Okay.
I finally said to myself, this is it.
See, and that's because of, I mean, look, folks, decades of research. You've got to understand, Doc has been doing this 25 years, decades of research and investigation. He didn't fall, you know, just fall upon this. This was a product of his decade, two and a half decades of research, and here it is. And boy, I look at that, I'm looking at the video again that, oh my goodness, that's a bizarre thing. Folks, again, we're listening to Doc Marquis. Go to his website, grab a hold of this. And I got a feeling, folks, if you don't do this right now, you may not have the opportunity before it's, these are going to go fly out of stock. Doc Marquis, There Were Giants in the Earth, Part 3 in this series, in the It's in the Bible series. Do yourself a favor. Grab a hold of this, the entire series, as a matter of fact. Go to his website. It's a God Things Productions 777.com and do yourself a favor. Grab a hold of this DVD. Support his work. It's cost money to do what he does. And he does great work. So 25 years of research. Do yourself a favor. Grab this. Folks, we're going to be right back with our final half hour with Doc Marquis. You're listening to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Stay right where you're at. We're going to be right back. Welcome back, folks, to the final half hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report in this edition with Doc Marquis. If you are listening to this on Global Star or BTR, go back to our YouTube channel. Subscribe, by the way, to our YouTube channel. Go back and take a look at what you're hearing described. But even better than that, get yourself a copy of Doc's DVD. I've got it here, and this is just a small part of what's on this DVD. Okay, but Doc is sharing this with all of us. He's being kind enough and gracious enough to allow this to be exposed. I looked at this on the regular monitor. Eric looked at it. We looked at it together. And we're both like, what did we just see? We know what we saw, but what did we just see? And frankly, wow, good stuff. So go to Doc's website. It's a God Thing Productions 777.com. Doc Marquis, grab his two DVD set. This is third in the series. Grab the whole series because this is not going to last long. I can tell you that right now. Do it tonight, and you support the research of this man. Hey, enough DVDs, you could buy a cup of Starbucks coffee. But seriously, look, folks, you don't make a lot of money in research. Seriously, you don't make a lot of money. So we depend on your support. Doc depends on your support and certainly appreciates it. Doc, thanks for holding out with us, man. This is crazy stuff. I'm looking at this and we have it frozen on that image.
Yeah, I know. Circle. It does almost enter into the realm of the Twilight Zone. But, yeah. You know, this is what I've been expecting. This is what I've been waiting for. Because, you see, there are certain prophecies in the scriptures that tell us what the end times are going to be like right before the tribulation period hits. Now, interesting enough, in the book of Revelation, we find out that in Revelation 18:23b, it tells us that the entire world is going to be handed over to the Antichrist through the occult. Now, it says all nations, not some, not part, not just this one. It says all the nations of the world are going to be handed over to the Antichrist through the occult. Now, in order for that prophecy to come true, we have to see right now in our day and age a resurgence of the occult, of the major occult religions, greater now than in all of recorded history. We have to see that outrageous numbers going higher and higher and higher. And interesting enough, according to the, I think they're called the Council of World Churches, I believe that's the name. According to their figures, in America alone, every year, 1 million people are now being initiated into one or the other occult religions. That's a million.
Wow.
How many people did we get saved last year, folks? We're losing. We're losing. And even more interesting, we also find out that according to the scriptures, these horrific demonic forces are actually going to be released during the tribulation period because an angel comes down and unlocks the bottomless pit and releases those demonic creatures.
Regardless of the time period, it ain't going to be a fun time. I mean, yes. I mean, so you're okay. Now, just going back to what you said earlier, though, this has been prophesized that as we approach the end times, more of this is going to happen, right?
Right. It has to. The
prophecies, that's right.
As I said, yeah. In order for them to be fulfilled, we have to see things beginning in our day and age now. And if you think these two demonic manifestations are something, folks, I'm going to try to get back out. And as Doug put it, and I'm not going to lie about it, I don't have the money to do it right now. Everything is funded through the DVDs or people's donations here. I mean, this is not one of those rich multi-million dollar mega supported ministries. No, it's just me and God here.
I'll second that because, and folks, the humility, the humbleness that you're hearing is honest, it's true, and you know, we at our platform, and I'm going to shut up, Doc. But our platform, what we do is we look at the projects, Doc, like yours, and we hope. I mean, by featuring projects like yours, we hope that people will find one or more and say, you know what, I want to back this person, back you, for example, or whatever the project might be. But at least what we try to do is be the vetting mechanism for worthy projects, and certainly this is worthy. And this is prima facie evidence, in my view, that your research is producing the results that people are looking for. So
that's just it. The prophecy state was supposed to be looking for these things, and we've got the evidence it's happening. Now, what I'm planning on doing, Lord willing, as soon as we get the money, we're going to go back in this area because this area, Joe, I mean, Doug, excuse me, I am not kidding. If you don't know what you're doing, you can get lost, and no one's going to find your body ever. And I mean ever. Your bones will turn to dust before anyone could possibly find you. This is a very vast area. This is where, rattlesnakes, scorpions, creatures that's going to want to eat you in the middle of the night. But this is where the stone circles, the ancient ones are, and this is where we're seeing the demonic activity. And what I want to do, we're going to get back out there because I have a twofold reason. We've got to get more footage, but more importantly, it's in this same area where in the Illuminati, when I was I think I was 12, 10 or 12, around that age, when I heard that in this particular area, the ancient 15-foot-tall red-headed giants resided. And I have spoken to a number of Native American Indians right in this same area, and they have told me that what I learned in the Illuminati, because I told them the exact stories I learned, they told me every story I had learned was exactly right. Now, what's getting me closer to where I think I might finally find the remains of these giants is that there are these petroglyphs. I have got literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of petroglyphs Some of these petroglyphs, human eyes haven't set foot on them for over 1,000 years. But I've been climbing up these mountains like I'm some sort of goat herder. And, you know, I'm no kid. I'm 60, you know, years old. But I am climbing up these rock walls 100 plus feet all the way straight up. And when you finally get to what looks like an intimate place, you go in, you walk around these rocks, you go behind them, and you'll find these ancient petroglyphs that are telling the stories of these 15-foot tall giants. In that series, you'll see the petroglyphs I'm talking about. As I said, some of them are over 1,000 years old. Now, according to the ancient legends, now, this is what I learned in the Illuminati, and this is what the Indians, the Native American Indians, have confirmed. According to the accounts, over 1,000 years ago in North America, there were these 15-foot tall, probably higher, red-headed giants that had 6 fingers and 6 toes. And they would run throughout North America and just grab, literally just pick up buffalo, or if the Indians were herding animals, whatever they may be, they would just run through the herds, scoop them up in their arms, and just keep doing it, run away with impunity. Now, by themselves, not one tribe could possibly tackle a tribe of giants. They just couldn't. However, someone got the bright idea and said, well, if we unite our tribes together, we can go after them. And that's what they did. Quite literally speaking, and it took quite a number of decades, but they hunted those giants down to extinction. And according to the stories, the last giants, there was about 12 or 15 of them, as I was told in the Illuminati, were cornered in this one cave. Now, the Native Americans were throwing in spears and shooting arrows to try to force them out, but the giants just remained in the cave. So they tried to smoke them out by, you know, lighting this huge fire in front of the cave. And the giants never came out. Instead, they stayed in the cave and they suffocated. Now, if you understand the cultural beliefs that apply to the story, none of the Native American Indians would have touched that cave because that would have been considered a cursed area. They wouldn't have touched it. And from what I was told, they just left that and they never returned. So that means, now mind you, I spoke to a number of Native American Indians, plus I spoke to a number of the elders now. And they all told me that the stories I related to them was exactly what they've been telling their own kids for over 1,000 years. Now that means, Doug, somewhere in that area where I've been working, there's a cave that hasn't been touched for over 1,000 years that have the skeletal remains of about 12 giants. Can you imagine what would happen, what could happen, if we actually found those skeletal remains? I mean, we could prove the giants, according to the Bible, existed. Therefore, the Bible's been right all along.
Now, okay, let me ask you this. Do you know the exact geographical location of this cave, or?
I don't. And anyone I have spoken to, any of the Native American Indians, if they know, they haven't told me.
Okay.
But this is why I need to go back out there, because I've been following these petroglyphs, and they seem to be leading me around like a giant spiral. And if I'm correct, the way this spiral is leading me, by the time I reach the center, if I'm correct, the cave will be in that area.
Okay. Wow. I'm processing this now.
And as I said, Doug, I have found over 400 petroglyphs. Now, one in particular, I mean, it literally just blew my mind. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. It's a hunting scene. It shows and believe it or not, I have an archaeologist look at this, so I didn't think I was going crazy here. When he looked at it, he said, oh my goodness. He says, that is a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And standing right next to it, just as tall, was a giant.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can see all these normal-sized people and animals running away from the T-Rex and the giant.
And see, Doc, am I correct? I mean, this is what is to come yet past this prologue. I mean, taking a look in the past is we're looking at what will be released in the future. Am I right?
Well, one thing I do know, Doug, that old axiom, those who do not learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them.
Mm-hmm.
I see it's true because I see history in a circle. Because we just haven't learned its lessons. I know there were demons in the past. And I know, according to the scriptures, that demons are going to be returning like never before. And you and I and the rest of your listening audience just saw two demonic manifestations to prove that theory.
Yes, however, if I heard you correctly, they kind of... wrong place, wrong time, you know, wrong planet, wrong everything. Whoops, got to get out of here, and then blipped out. So, but you're saying, however, that's not going to be the case. They're going to be here to stay.
It has to be, because remember, during the tribulation period, they're going to be released from the bottomless pit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is done by divine order now.
Okay.
You know, and if God says he's going to do it, well, folks, you might as well get used to the fact. Those demons are going to be released from the bottomless pit. And woe be to those who are here during the tribulation period to face it.
All right. Now, let me ask, from the Illuminati standpoint, you said, and this is something, I've just got probably a dozen or so emails about this, wanting to know, from your Illuminati experience, what did the Illuminati tell you as an insider about this that we're seeing?
What we're seeing right now will be part of what makes up the army that's going to be standing up against God during the Battle of Armageddon. Remember, and I've said this in the past, Doug, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I've stated to you before that according to the Illuminati belief system now, at the end, when the Battle of Armageddon hits, they're going to kill God and the Holy Spirit and put Lucifer on the throne where he rightfully belongs. Haven't I told you that?
Yes, yes.
That's why they believe these demons are going to make up part of the armies that will destroy God and all his followers.
When you say destroy God and his followers...
That's, you know, the angels and us coming down for the final battle of Armageddon.
Okay. So go against, I understand. War in the heavens. Okay, war.
War
in
the heavens, but
saying.
It takes place on the earth this time.
Correct. Yes, it's almost an abstract concept, but it's not really abstract at all.
History's repeating itself. This war...
Right.
Everyone thought the battle was over in heaven. No. That's part one. Part two concludes on earth.
And men will, I mean, men's hearts will fail them. I mean, my goodness. Wow.
This is why they're welcoming these demons. This is why they've been summoning them, because they make up part of the whole of the army that will be led by Lucifer to stand up against God and, in their belief, kill God and the Holy Spirit and put their God, their so-called God, Lucifer, on the throne.
Right. Okay.
That's what it's all about.
And this, okay, so what we're witnessing, and this is, wow, this is pretty revealing, what we're witnessing here.
And you see, let me just interrupt for one second.
Go ahead.
And
go,
this is why
go,
the
go.
Giants were created. You see, Satan could not take the heavens, so he decided he was going to take the earth, and he was going to attempt to do it by creating the first genetic experiment in history, crossbreeding the fallen demons, the fallen angels, excuse me, which are now demons, having to mate with female human beings and create a race of giants that ranged anywhere from 9.5 feet to 40 feet in height. And with such an army, Satan was convinced he could take the earth. But he did not count on God's foreknowledge and why and how God would destroy the first occurrence of giants, and then when they reoccurred again after the flood, God wiped them out of the land of milk and honey, or what's known as ancient Canaan. And ancient Canaan, if you just do a little bit of math and some digging in the Holy Scriptures, you'll find out that there was approximately 1 million giants in that land of Canaan.
A million?
Yes. Now, there were giants throughout the world. We've got the archaeological evidence. But why ancient Canaan? Why was there such a heavy concentration? 1 million giants in Canaan of all places on the earth. Why that one place?
Go ahead.
Well,
why?
If someone will just pull out a map of ancient Canaan, and right around the center of it, you're going to find a little tuckaway place known as Bethlehem of Judea, where the Messiah was going to be born. Satan was going to try to stop the prophecy. You see, there's a belief in the occult world that if you can stop or unravel just one prophecy of God, you can undo the whole of it, because then God could not be God. And what they were going to try to do with a million giants was stop the prophecy of the Messiah being born. And we know that's Jesus Christ, who would be the ultimate destruction.
Right.
That's why Canaan.
Okay.
1 million giants. Satan must have figured that would have been enough.
Wow. When you think about this, okay, now there you've got the motive, of course, to go against and to prove the Bible wrong or to prove God wrong. It didn't happen, but there's the means by which it was attempted, the giants, the location, of course. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting, do you know, in that same area, way back about 5,000 years ago, there's a gigantic ringed circle. It consists of three, four rings, as I was called. In the Hebrew, it's called Gilgal Raphaim. Translated,
yes,
it means the wheel of ghosts or the wheel of giants. And interesting enough, we know that in that part of the Middle East, 5,000 years ago, there was no wandering nomads, nothing. There was no civilizations, nothing there. And when we look at this stone circle, as it says, it's made up of three or four concentric rings. It's and if I recall, there's something like 42,000 basalt stones that make it up, and it was dated to be 5,000 years old. The only people in that area during that time were the giants, according to the scriptures, and it's the same area of Canaan.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you take all of this information and you start, first of all, you take your Bible and then you start taking this information and you start connecting the dots. The Bible comes alive to each one of us. The backstory becomes evident. Wow. Okay.
Well,
this is something. And of course,
as I just stated, with Gilgal Raphaim, you'll see all the evidence for yourself. It's in the DVD. I put everything from beginning to end when it came from what originally happened in Genesis 6, what was going on through history, brought it up to the creations of the stone circles, brought it up to today's modern times, and showed all the connections. Now, there's nine major sections that everyone has to go through. It's two discs. As I said, it's over 3 hours. This is a long study. But you will see all the evidence for yourself. As I say, you'll see all the ancient stone circles in Nevali Kori, Göbekli Tepe, the ones in Russia, the ones in Sweden, Portugal, the ones here in America at Burnt Hill. Or if you look at the ancient megalithic structures that was built in Windham, New Hampshire, known as the American Stonehenge. And we'll take you through all the crop formations. We're going to take you through absolutely every little jot and tittle so that you can see for yourself the full truth of what had happened in the past, what's going on now in the present, and what you can expect to continue to go on from this day all the way through the Battle of Armageddon. The evidence is all there. You can cross-reference it with the Bible, but you'll find out it's exactly as I've been trying to explain to you folks and show to you on that footage you've seen for, you know, the last couple of hours. But it's all there. And I know Doug saw it because Doug, I remember when he was talking to me about it, he was stunned.
Yes, I will admit, Doc, that it was one of the most... one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And folks, you can see the same thing too. I would really urge, I mean, it's well worth it to purchase the DVD set, the series as well, because it does put everything in perspective. But this, there's no way to, I mean, if I would have seen this, if I'm sitting at a security, bank of security cameras or monitors and see this, man, yeah, Doc, I'd be in therapy. Well, not really. I mean, but it's obvious to me that there is something here. You've captured it. It's been captured, that is, and you've analyzed it. And you've proved the authenticity of the tape 100%, so, or the video, I should say, 100%. And, great work, man. Great, fantastic presentation. Thank you.
Well, I'm just glad we were able to do it because I know this was a first for the Hagman and Hagman Report. I mean, I know you and Eric,
yes,
you've never done anything like this before, and you guys deserve nothing but the best kudos because you pulled off what's never been done before.
It wasn't me. I was sleeping in the top bunk. Eric was doing everything. I'm kidding, but no, it's something, Doc, that you know, what we're trying to do, and this is because of researchers like yourself, and I mean, what we need to do is we need to get the word out there, and you're part of getting this word out there, what's coming, and with that comes preparation. Knowledge is power. The application of that knowledge is greater power to fight, but we know what it's coming up against us, and you've done it. You've been at the tip of the spear on this, and you know, I just want to say thank you for all you've done, and thank you for showing this. This is proprietary stuff to you, data, and you've really given our audience a gift of insight into what this contains, and I want to say thank you for that.
Well, Lord willing, wow, I'll be able to give them even more if I can get back out in the field again, because, as I said, we are narrowing this down. We're finding more and more evidence as we follow the petroglyphs where they've been leading us. And as it says, I'm convinced this second time around, you know, this next time around, I should say, we're going to find even more hardcore evidence. I really do. I'm convinced of it because I've got people in those area who've been telling me that they're seeing these things. Something is going on. Something very major is about to explode, and they've been sending me photos and such, and I'm going, are you kidding me? We're finding now footprints, not just in the dirt, but in solid stone. You know how you'll find like a field of small pebbles, you know, and that's all there is? There's been these footprints that when you sit down and do the math, see the specific medical math we use to try to measure anything, you know I have a medical background, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Right. And so when we apply the numbers, whatever is leaving. These footprints behind, Doug, the math is telling me whatever they are is standing somewhere between 15 to 18 feet in height. I can't tell you. I mean, I want to say it's a giant, but I don't know. I mean, I know what the map is telling me. I know what the footprints are showing me.
Right.
But without seeing whatever it is, I mean, I don't want to be a bad Christian teacher and say, aha, it's a giant. No. I have to reserve my opinion until I can see the evidence. You know, something is out there or something.
Standard of evidence.
And there are these manifestations also happening. People are actually describing now. I've had three or four cases right now where people have told me what they describe is exactly that of a shadow man.
Unbelievable. Doc, we're going to have you back. God bless you. Reached the end of the program. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And God bless all your listeners. God bless them.
Good night.